In today's news headlines, Vermont Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders declared a decisive victory in Nevada's primary caucus race on Saturday, taking a large lead ahead of his rivals so early in the day that Associated Press declared him the winner before the official results were in. Ultimately, Sanders drew 46.8% of the vote, with Joe Biden at 20.4%, Pete Buttigieg at 13.9%, and Elizabeth Warren at 9.8%. Sanders celebrated his victory in Nevada from San Antonio, Texas, where a massive crowd had gathered.
We are going to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. We're going to create millions of good-paying union jobs by rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. We are going to have high-quality, affordable, universal child care. We're going to make public colleges and universities tuition-free. We're going to cancel all student debt in this country. We will significantly expand funding for Planned Parenthood.
That's Bernie Sanders declaring victory in the Nevada caucuses from San Antonio, Texas, before a huge crowd. Even before Sanders spoke, Buttigieg took to the stage, warning Democrats to not choose Sanders. Buttigieg was widely criticized for saying, quote, "Senator Sanders believes in an inflexible ideological revolution that leaves out most Democrats, not to mention most Americans." His campaign has now said there were major errors in vote counting in the Nevada caucuses. MSNBC host Chris Matthews is coming under fire for comments during coverage of the Nevada caucuses, where he compared the rise of Sanders' popularity to the Nazi invasion of France. Matthews previously had claimed that if Sanders wins the nomination, there will start being public executions in the U.S. Critics are calling for Matthews to apologize and even resign from the network. Sanders is Jewish and lost family members in the Holocaust. Meanwhile, the presidential frontrunner continued his trend of bucking the Democratic Party by declaring over the weekend that he would not attend this year's conference of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, which is the leading pro-Israel lobby group in the country that has regularly drawn support from both major parties. Sanders explained his position on Twitter, saying, quote, "I remain concerned about the platform AIPAC provides for leaders who express bigotry and oppose basic Palestinian rights." AIPAC hit back at Sanders' announcement, calling it, quote, "truly shameful." A new poll of New York State shows Sanders leading all candidates across the state with 25% support. Former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg is not far behind with 21% support, followed by Joe Biden at only 11%. In New York City, however, voters picked their former mayor. 33% said Bloomberg would be the best candidate for the Democratic Party nomination. Meanwhile, Bloomberg has decided to skip this week's CNN town hall meeting in order to prepare for taking on Sanders in Tuesday's candidate debate, which will be his second time on stage. A Bloomberg campaign spokesperson said the country can't afford to let Bernie Sanders skate by another debate without a focus on his extreme record. And former presidential candidate Marianne Williamson has decided to formally endorse Sanders for president. President Donald Trump is in India being feted by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. In a giant cricket stadium in the city of Ahmedabad, more than 100,000 people gathered to watch Trump speak, most of them wearing white caps that said Namaste Trump. Trump lauded the nation at a time when Modi's government is facing its worst crisis over new laws that question the citizenship of non-Hindus.
India's rise as a prosperous and independent nation is an example to every nation all over the world and one of the most outstanding achievements of our century. It is all the more inspiring because you have done it as a democratic country. You have done it as a peaceful country. You have done it as a tolerant country. And you have done it as a great free country.
That's President Trump during his trip to India speaking on Monday. According to a report by AP titled Trump's India Visit Prioritizes Pageantry Over Policy, quote, "in his first hours on the subcontinent, Trump received the adulatory reception that has eluded him on many foreign trips. But, quote, miles away in the capital of New Delhi, police used tear gas and smoke grenades to disperse a crowd of clashing protesters hours before Trump was due to arrive, as violence broke out over a new citizenship law that excludes Muslims. Anti-Trump street demonstrations also erupted in Kolkata, Hyderabad, and Guwahati. Trump has promised to boost trade ties with India and also sell it the, quote, best and most feared military equipment. The jury in Harvey Weinstein's case on Monday delivered its verdict in the nation's highest profile case around sexual assault. Weinstein was convicted of sexual assault and third-degree rape and handcuffed while in court. His conviction carries up to 25 years in prison. A sentencing hearing has been scheduled for March 11th. According to Reuters, the jury acquitted Weinstein on two counts of predatory sexual assault, which carried a potential life sentence, and first-degree rape of one of the accusers named Mann. A conviction on predatory sexual assault would have meant the jury had concluded he was a repeat sexual offender. In other news, the U.S. stock market dipped on Monday over fears of the spread of the new coronavirus strain that has now infected more than 78,000 people worldwide. Already, China's stocks had been under deep strain over the spread of the virus and its impact on the global economy. There are now cases of the virus in 35 countries, although the vast majority, more than 77,000, are in China. Japan and South Korea have the next highest numbers of infections at about 830 each. One report from Iran declared that 50 people in the city of Qom had died, but the Iranian government rejected the report, saying that 12 people had died from the disease nationwide. As of Monday, Italy announced a total of 6 deaths from the disease so far. Meanwhile, the leader of a World Health Organization team studying the coronavirus has urged cooperation with China rather than a closing of borders. Here in the U.S., the White House is now apparently planning to request up to $1 billion of funding from Congress to combat the spread of the disease. Lawyers for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange argued against his extradition to the U.S. in a British court on Monday. Attorney Edward Fitzgerald said the U.S. Justice Department was, quote, not motivated by genuine concerns for criminal justice, but politics. Assange is implicated in leaking hacked DNC emails from a Russian source to affect the 2016 U.S. election in Trump's favor. He's also had numerous visits from Brexit backer and right-wing British politician Nigel Farage. But the case facing him in the U.S. is over the leaking of the Iraq and Afghanistan war logs to the press in violation of the Espionage Act. Meanwhile, whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who was at the center of that case, has been in prison for nearly a year for refusing to testify before a federal grand jury investigating WikiLeaks. And that does it for our news headlines today.